Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Cavs a podcast. Nate Smith,
Evil Genius,
Tom Pestak,
Evil Genius with his own Netflix show breaking soon.
Yeah,
really?
It's just called Evil Genius.
Oh, well, I mean that could be a thing. So
it could be a thing. Yeah, you never know.
There you go. But we were just in the break. I mean, the Cavs did win, but we were talking about the Ali LaForce question to LeBron about Greg Popovich's wife who passed today, and the news broke either right before the game or I think it broke during the game.
Did break during the game.
And LeBron clearly caught off guard. And I guess
he was very emotional about it. I mean, when someone tells you like, oh, someone died while you were playing a game and it's somebody that you're close to, he seemed pretty choked up about it. And I mean, It was a weird question to ask after the other questions she'd been asking and just trying to like throw that in at the end. And I guess I'm sure someone was in her ear at TNT saying like, ask the question about Popovich's wife. But like, still, I don't know. I think
it's a bit low rent.
I don't think we needed that. And on top of that, what I was saying before is that like, if you're the Cavs media guys, like how do you not give LeBron a heads up about something like that? You know he's going to get interviewed after the game. I mean, these guys have to be on Twitter and social media all game long to see what track, what else is going on, and what have you. This was all over. All over Twitter.
Yeah, that's fine, but it's during the game. I mean, you really want to be like distracting LeBron with stuff?
Well,
happening
I think he's saying
after the game. I think you could say something after the game.
Because literally.
I didn't realize you're talking. So this happened after the game. I thought this was a sideline.
Post
game. He was the interview post game. Oh. Who knows? Maybe they grabbed him before the guys could say anything to
him. Usually
still,
what
like,
happens, if you watch what happens after the game, usually the media person literally goes and talks to LeBron first because they know that that's who the media is going to want to interview first. So, but you know, you never know. It's without knowing the whole story, I have a hard time casting blame, but
yeah.
But I'm not an evil genius, so.
Well, at any rate, that's really bad, awful about Pop's wife. Really sorry for that.
Yeah.
Well, she'd been sick for a long time, I guess. I don't know with what, but yeah, it's just it reminds you that this is just a game that
it does,
grown men play, and
I remember I felt that way about Flip Saunders when he passed away.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, and you know, all those years. I mean, I didn't dislike Flip Saunders, but you know, he was
I ragged on him hardcore.
Well, he was the coach of the team that you know I hated, and you know, it's you do need to be reminded from time to time that sports should you know enrich life, complement life, but they aren't life. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's a little sobering. In better news, the Cavs won. What was the final score? 100-97.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been. It should have been 100-94. But Oladipo was stat padding at the end. So,
by the way, that last ditch three Oladipo tried where he airballed it. What a terrible shot!
Yeah,
like, where he missed.
Maybe
like,
he shot the last one just to prove that he could still hit him. But
I guess.
Hey, you know what? I am the opinion don't give a shot guy a shot like that because you don't want him to get his rhythm before the next game. So,
yeah.
I always say when you're at the gym and you practice and you always end on a make. So, Words of wisdom from Coach Nate.
Yeah. Right.
I would take Coach Nate over Coach Lou.
You're still not convinced?
I feel
not
like,
at all. Not at all. Like, dude, like LeBron scored 46 points this game, bailed Ty Lue out.
Yeah, on like 85% shooting. And I really feel like Chetty needs to be in this rotation because the Cavs just look outmatched physically against this Pacer team. They're just not that quick. I credit JR for, at least in the fourth quarter, having the stamina to not be any slower than he was in the first three quarters when he just kept getting
blown by. He was great in the first quarter, which you didn't watch.
Well, that's true. I did not watch the first quarter.
Hashtag fake news.
I can't really talk because I didn't watch the first game, which was no great loss. But
no, it was not. But yeah,
it just feels like when JR locks in like this on defense, he just doesn't have the stamina or bandwidth to be also good on offense. He only took three shots, and granted, LeBron was taking all the shots tonight, but still, you know, you would like for him to be a little more aggressive. He made a few passes out of plays where he probably should have shot the ball. He had one drive that he made an ill-advised pass when he should have just shot it or laid it up. You know, but his defense was great. Like that play was, he had maybe the defensive play of the game when he was ISO'd on Oladipo in the backcourt.
He got the tip steal. Yeah, that was a great play.
Oladipo. And then the weight on the to let him fly by and get the layup on the other end.
The break
too.
Top gun fly style. Right by.
Yeah, he did.
I'm bringing him in closer.
You're gonna what? Is that Tim Robbins that says that? You're gonna what?
No, that's not Tim Robbins. That's Goose first, and then it's Merlin later.
Yeah, no. Merlin's Tim Robbins.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Merlin is Tim Robbins. So Tom and I are also old.
What up, Nate?
I love me some Top Gun.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite guilty pleasure movies, for sure.
It's a great guilty pleasure movie. The last time I saw it, I was in Long Beach watching it in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
That is
why did that happen?
That is a great story that I'm sure I've told you that before. I
don't remember this story.
And I haven't told that on a podcast yet?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't you save it for the end?
Yeah,
save
it for the end. Put it in your pocket for the end.
Let's talk about the Cavs for 30 minutes, and then you can tell the story about Spanish Top Gun in Long Beach.
So let me take you through the stats here a little bit. If I told you that the Spurs were going to shoot 53% to the Cavs 51%.
You mean the Pacers?
The Pacers. 36 rebounds to 30 rebounds, 17 turnovers to 15 turnovers. Who would you tell me was going to win that game?
Probably the Pacers.
Right. Well, it all came down to 3-point shooting because the Cavs hit 11 of 28, good for 29%, and the Spurs hit 6 of 22, which is a difference of...
You keep calling them the Spurs. They're not the Spurs.
I know. I got the Spurs in my brain. Sorry, the Popovich thing. Difference of 5 points, which is pretty much the difference in the game.
The diff?
Sorry, go ahead.
The diff?
Yeah, I mean... It was a 6-point game before the garbage time three. The Cavs raced out to a big lead and pretty much held on for the rest of the game.
Yeah, they slowly bled points away quarter to quarter. It was like there was 3 points in after the second, then 5 points in the third. They only scored 16 points in the third. The problem is two things happened. And again, I understand Ty Lue is – sounds, I didn't watch it, but from what I understand, sounded confident in the post game and he's going to go with the same starting lineup. And look, to be fair, yes, it was a shakeup to go small and go Kevin at the five and LeBron with Rodney Hood, George Hill and Kyle Korver. Fine. However, all of that's qualified by two things that happened. LeBron James went nuts, scored 20 points in the first quarter on his own personal mission to say, oh, you want me to be aggressive, Ty? Here's aggressive. I'm going to go.
He scored the first 16 points.
And assisted on or scored the first 19. So it's that. And then Victor Oladipo got two fouls within the first 2 minutes and basically sat out big stretches of the first half. I mean, the dude only played 28 minutes and he still had 22 points. So,
oh yeah, he was a monster this game.
Well, but that's the problem, is that he's those two things combined, and it's still just a what should have been a 6-point win technically, because the last three was garbage. But still, this is the problem in looking at this, is that the Cavs had great intensity with their defense early, and then it just sort of waned in the middle quarters, and then they seemed to crank it back up again in the fourth for stretches. But I mean, like LeBron said himself in the post game, you know, they got lucky. They got lucky that Oladipo like airballed that shot the way he did, because he was wide open.
Oh yeah, because they ran basically an off ball screen for Oladipo, and he got a wide open look. And he just missed it, and they missed several.
Are we talking about the same play? He caught the pass, and he was like 8 feet behind the line, and he should have taken a dribble and pulled up and stepped into it, and instead he took an excuse me like off balance shot.
No, we're talking about the one with like a minute left.
That was
the big one that he missed.
We got lucky there, but they got unlucky with Darren Collison hitting that completely ridiculous three.
Collison didn't do much till the fourth quarter, but man, he was the difference in that.
The one three he hit, I mean, was a nice shot. There's a hard closeout, but he, you know, was in the corner. He was set. He stuck it. But that second one he hit with like a minute and a half.
That was a prayer.
Patently ridiculous.
And the Pacers had a few of those prayers in this game. Like Sabonis had a prayer, and
that like tip like off the glass shot.
Yeah,
that was nuts.
When the Cavs, I mean, I will give the Cavs this. They played some really good defense, and when you play good defense for four quarters and you don't let guys get in a rhythm, their odds that they make that fourth quarter shot are a lot lower. I mean, the Pacers did not get nearly as many open looks that game. The Cavs did a really good job.
They feasted in the paint, though.
Well, and that was part of the game plan, but yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, the Cavs did a really good job of crowding Oladipo at times, and the trick on him is if you can get a body into him on the perimeter, he's not a wiggle guy. He's not a guy that's going to shake you with a crossover as much. He wants to back up and run at you because he's more of a straight line driver.
It's like John Wall.
Yeah,
but he's
exactly.
really good at contorting himself at the rim to get
shots. He's a fantastic finisher.
Yeah. But you're right. You have to stop him on the perimeter. Yeah. You can't let him have this 10-foot run up to run, you know, running, either, racing to the basket. Even LeBron did that.
Or pull it up from three. Yeah. I mean, if you read David's Woodshop today, which was great, about, you know, letting Oladipo run into his shots, you can't do that. So
No, you can't. And they continue to let it happen, which is why, again, On the plus side, the Cavs have held Indiana under 100 points both games. On the downside,
they're not scoring 130.
And they're not making adjustments either. Like again, Indiana missed some shots tonight. They missed some threes.
Well, they made some adjustments, but
they did. But look, Oladipo still only played 28 minutes, and he went 2 of 8 from three.
Yeah,
like they did a good job. They did a better job on him, but not on him, the driver. And they gave up way too many easy buckets to Turner in the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that.
They look like they look like they've never played together. I'm watching, you know, guys run into each other on the perimeter, both going to the same spot to try to fill up the empty space. Like four times in the third quarter and second quarter, I watched JR and like George Hill or Rodney Hood or Jordan Clarkson run into each other, and it's just like, well, that is pointless because now no one even needs to guard you guys because you're in each other's way.
Well, they've played. Go ahead.
Well, it just feels to me like, you know, and Larry Nance Jr., I love the guy, but man, I have been not impressed with his hands. Like, I feel like so many balls are getting on his hands, and then he just doesn't wind up with it. Yeah. This feels to me like a series where the Cavs really need to focus on things like rebounding and energy. And just let LeBron like shoot 30 times and you'll probably win every game.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching Rodney Hood like take a pull-up two in the second quarter, and I'm thinking, nope, we do not need that. Of course, he misses it. It's just like, that's a waste. That's an empty possession.
But he hit his first one, and it looked good.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that.
But the Cavs don't need that. They don't need Rodney Hood to hit pull-up jumpers.
But that's the problem. It's the catch-23, right? It's the catch-23 of, like, if.
Nice. The catch-23.
If LeBron,
I love it.
If LeBron beasts like this, none of the other guys touch the ball enough. Like, he only had 5 assists tonight, even though he probably could have had twice that if guys were hitting their shots. But guys were hot early, and then they started to cool off because they started standing around and not getting the ball. So it's
well,
the trade-off.
Well, they run a lot of those ISO sets, too, where it would be 4 guys on the other side of the court and then LeBron on the right block. So, you know, part of that's by design.
No, I understand, but that's the – like I'm saying, it's catch-23. It's you get
– Well, here's what I'm saying. What is the difference between playing Rodney Hood and Chetty Osmond? It's obvious. Rodney Hood is an inferior defensive player, and Chetty Osmond is an inferior offensive player.
Oh, I agree with you there.
I don't know if he's an inferior offensive player. I mean, Rodney Hood had 2 awful turnovers tonight where he just dribbled off his own foot.
I watched the game at the end of the season where the Cavs lost because Chetty missed back-to-back wide-open threes.
No, not back-to-back, back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I get that Lou doesn't trust him offensively.
Yeah, but he was a guy that helped them actually get within striking distance in that game.
Fine.
If his name was Jeff Green, that would be allowed.
Well, and that's why I think, you know what, I'm okay with substituting, you know, energy guys and, you know, namely in this case, Osmond. And he, even a little more, I could do with a little more Calderon at times. You know, I mean, the Cavs trotted out a lineup with no point guard and no LeBron, and that's when Speed went from 15 down to 6.
Because their point guard had 5 fouls in the third quarter and fouled out of the game, and then their backup point guard had 4 fouls. So
this was in the second quarter.
Yeah,
long before that.
Okay,
he still had 4 fouls before halftime.
They had Jeff Green, you know.
Well, they had Clarkson running the point. Well,
Clarkson's not a point guard.
Well, okay, stop yelling. I thought Clarkson in the fourth did not play too bad.
He didn't force too much.
He had some good – I think you brought up Nate. He had a really good box out under the hoop.
Yeah.
And then he actually took the ball to the hole when they absolutely needed somebody to do that and got a layup there. But
I thought Kevin Love played a gutsy game too. That 3 he hit in the fourth was huge.
Yeah. The other
But Thad Young's a bad matchup for him on the glass, I think, and defensively too. He got stripped a couple of times by Thad and he looked like he got fouled a couple of times by Thad too, but it wasn't but there were no calls coming for Kevin.
Yeah, and Kevin Love.
I feel like the only calls Kevin ever actually gets is on the perimeter when he does his banana in the tailpipe
which
move.
Is probably the one move he shouldn't get the call for.
Right, exactly.
No, you're right though.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was getting frustrated when the Pacers were really ratcheting up the defensive intensity and just a lot of holding and a lot of arm bars and things like that. And then the Cavs got called for 2 offensive fouls. And I thought they were fouls, but it's just sort of like the refs were letting so much physicality go.
Oh, yeah, Lance Stephenson got away with it like 3 times.
Yeah, you got to let guys like clear the defender's arms off them. If they flop at that point, you got to let it go because you're letting the defenders initiate all that contact.
But this is what I thought they brought Perk up why they signed Perk for. Like, put him in for a minute or two just to lay somebody out and get the refs to start calling the game tighter.
Yeah, I agreed. And LeBron got that flagrant, and they still were, you know, letting guys, you know, go off.
Yeah, I loved how Chris Webber was trying to downplay that it shouldn't have been a flagrant, and he was going for the ball. If you look in the top view, it's like, dude, he had his arms around his neck.
Yeah, well, I was so fortunate to get the Cavs had a local feed tonight, so. Getting the Fox Sports game, I was like, oh, Chris Webber and Marv, I can't tell the difference between Larry Nance and Kevin Love Albert. is if it was a much better game to watch with those people. And the other thing that they showed that I doubt got showed on ESPN is Kevin Love, that when he got on Oladipo was kind of a makeup call. Because on the play,
Oladipo shoved JR down to the floor.
Well, and
he landed on his leg.
Yeah, he didn't give him a space to land.
Yeah. And I was impressed with Love getting back on defense because I didn't realize he actually hit the deck. And then on the replay they showed, he hit the deck in pain because he got back pretty quick. So he was really grinding in this game. Mixed success, but I thought he had a really gutsy effort.
Well, it looks like, I mean, if you believe Ty Lue, it looks like his thumb's going to be okay for Friday. Lou said after the game he just jammed his thumb, but he's good to go. So we'll see. I mean, it looked like a dislocation from the replay they showed on ESPN, but you know who knows? Can't you,
I mean, if it's his non-shooting hand, I mean, you can still play with a dislocated
thumb. Yeah, but it's the one he broke though.
Yeah, but it's not his. It was a different. That was his metacarpal, not his. Like it was the other side of his hand, not the thumb.
I'll get all medical on me.
Yeah, come on, Nate.
Metacarpal.
Nate doesn't know that the Cavs are playing the Pacers, but he knows like the metacarpal.
Yeah, exactly.
My mind works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
So you guys, I'm just taking a poll here. Like, so you guys are okay with how the series is going so far?
Well, I feel this game was an improvement. I mean,
Well, they won. That was the improvement, I guess. Well,
the energy from start to finish was much better.
Yeah, the defense was
better. I will agree that the energy was better in the first half. I feel like they had a real third quarter letdown and let these guys right back into the game.
And then
Collison woke up in the fourth quarter, and so they had their hands full, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, let me give you my take on the fourth, because I kind of felt like the fourth quarter, they had to play the bench lineup to basically buy minutes for LeBron.
Yeah.
And then LeBron came back on. They were up 8. And then they kept 3 of the guys, Clarkson and Nance and Green, out there who'd been out for pretty much 12 straight minutes. And they got beat right away by 4. Just, you could tell it was just they were tired and missing their shots. And it's like, why did you leave those guys in there? There's only 5 minutes and change left in the game. Get your starters back in. Get the mainline guys back in. And
I guess the only answer I have is because Ty Lue doesn't understand rotations.
I don't know. And then the other side of that, but they did have enough down the stretch to kind of keep them at bay. And I mean, they took a couple dumb shots. That 3-point shot by LeBron over on the left wing.
Yeah. That was not a good shot. He was going for the win. He was going for the dagger, and had it gone, it would have been. But
yeah, well, the other part of that
was a bad miss.
That's part of that prevent offense where you're not going to give away a break on the other end either. So,
but they make some weird choices, and they have Rodney Hood. I don't think Rodney Hood should ever be handling the ball at the top of the key because he makes some really bad. He's very. I think because he's tall too. Like because he's 6'8", you forget that, but he just doesn't have the best, like, handle, and, I mean, he does when he's driving, but when he's just kind of, like, looking for people at the top of the key, it seems like he is real easy to turn it over, and that's the worst place when you're playing a team like Indiana, because there's nobody between them and the hoop, then. They're just it's an easy two.
I'll agree with you there. I mean, Rodney Hood, I have, you know, he had an awful RPM this year, and I have not been impressed with him in anything other than very brief stints.
Yeah, same here.
I mean,
he did have twins today, so I guess we can throw that into the mix, but
he didn't.
Well, I'm just saying he missed. Well, but he wasn't. His wife did.
That would be a bigger story. Ali LaForce might have asked about that.
But he wasn't there. He wasn't there for the shoot around, and he wasn't there for practice. And he raced back from the hospital so he could be there for the game.
I love the way you said that. Well, he didn't.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite jokes. That's a total dad joke.
Yeah. No, but you look, we've all had kids. You've been through that. It's like, this is, if these are his, I don't know if these are his first two kids, but it sounded like it was. He's still a young guy.
No,
so.
I mean, yeah, good for him. And I had forgotten about that. He definitely had some, as we would say back in the day, he had a couple boners and, you know, where he kind of really screwed up, but.
Yeah.
Thankfully they got, well, the funny thing is I think both those turnovers did not result in points. And I think the Cavs ended up getting back and stopping the break. Well, the other one that was bizarre is LeBron. The Cavs got 1 point out of that flagrant foul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just like, you know, this is a chance to get at least a 4 point possession here, and getting one was kind of a
disaster. Free throws were not good. Three free throws were not good tonight.
Yeah, well, LeBron was 10 of 13. I mean, 77%. That's pretty good for him.
The rest of the team was missing, too.
I want to know what JR's percentage is on the first free throw, because I feel like it's like 20%, and then he usually makes the second one,
yeah,
and thus he maintains like a 69 or 70% free throw rate for his career. But, I mean, that guy is like, you can bank on him missing the first free throw. And it just shows, I mean, he's just a rhythm shooter, and he just can't get into rhythm at the free throw line until he's missed that first one, and then he adjusts and puts the second one in.
Yeah.
But I wanted to follow up with you guys talking about the prevent offense, because the Cavs do that way too much, and I hate that. So I wanted to point out and, I guess, kind of give him props for that out-of-bounds.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
Yeah,
because the shot clock had been reset. So the Cavs had a 24-second shot clock, and there was under 2 minutes, I think, or it was close to 2 minutes. So they totally could have just tried to milk. They totally could have milked the clock, and they right away, bang, 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 scored. So I was like, man, I didn't see that coming. And maybe,
and LeBron wasn't even involved, right? It was
they kind of used LeBron's
Hill, Korver, and Nance. Yeah,
yeah, because he threw it to Korver, flaring out on the kind of the left mid post, and then Hill came off the inbounds line under the basket on the left side, and then hit a cutting Nance for the bucket. It was sweet.
Yeah, man, somebody just posted Rodney Hood had almost as many babies as he had points.
He did have as many babies as turnovers.
Hey,
so.
You got to keep your family. You got to keep the family out of it.
Actually. Yeah. Actually, he didn't have those babies.
Yeah, he didn't have the babies, but yeah, his wife did. Yeah. I liked what Nance did tonight, even though he didn't score a lot. I mean, he got on the floor for that one ball, saved it. He had a couple of, monster block in the first half. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Over Trevor the Human Foul Booker.
Oh my God. That guy, talk about a fake tough guy.
Oh my God, that dude. Yeah, and he should not be shaving.
That's the guy Perk needs to go in and lay out.
My wife goes, "Oh my God, that guy looks just like Nate McMillan's taller, fatter son."
You're gonna say Dick Scott?
Dick Scott?
No, she wasn't gonna say.
The joke that keeps on giving, Dick Scott.
Yeah, no, Nate McMillan definitely had some smell to fart face tonight. He had a Mike Brown face tonight.
I posted it. They found a still shot of it. It was awesome. He looked just like Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Although without glasses.
Yeah.
Look, Nate McMillan's a good coach, and he deserves whatever percentage of the Coach of the Year votes he gets.
Is he though? Because I feel like in the past he's had decent regular seasons and he's really underperformed.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, look at this roster. Like, outside of Oladipo,
that's a good point.
none of these guys are even like...
This doesn't look like a near 50-win team on paper.
No.
Yeah.
No, he did a great job.
Thad Young, so what do I know?
Thad Young.
Well,
On the Nate Smith All-Stars, Thad Young? Yeah,
Nate Smith All-Stars.
I will say, like, so the book on McMillan early in his career was he was a guy that would play at a really slow pace.
Yeah, and he's like toughness and...
defense, and I feel like his offensive sets... and part of that is just Oladipo coming into his own, but are much better this year. Although, I don't know what kind of sets you need when the Cavs are just going to trap everything high, so you're going to get a four-on-three every time.
Yeah.
I wish the Cavs would, I don't know. I mean,
I wish they'd play Zizic, because I think Zizic could destroy, what's his name, Miles Sabonis.
Turner? Oh, Sabonis.
No, I think he destroys Sabonis in the second unit.
Yeah,
and with his crafty footwork and post moves.
Yeah, wow.
I just think, why not?
Utah just beat Oklahoma City, so 1-1 there.
Did Donovan Mitchell play, or is he hurt?
Oh yeah, he was awesome,
dude. He is a baller, that dude.
Oh my gosh, that guy is.
I'd rather have him than Simmons, honestly.
He'd be my rookie of the year if I had a vote.
I might give it to Simmons this year, but I'd rather have him long term. That shot is pure.
Well, not only that, he's a freak athlete too. I mean,
although he was 0-for-7 from 3 tonight, I'm looking.
Yeah, but
that's rough.
Yeah, but they played a really good game. Who was it? My boy, Ricky Rubio had a big one down the stretch.
Yeah, boy. Zach Lowe's boy, too, I think.
From the Nate Smith All-Stars, Ricky Rubio. So
yeah.
Hey, remember when Rubio came in the league and everyone was so thrilled and it just nothing really ever happened? But he's actually he was so overrated, and then now he's actually underrated.
Yeah.
I think he's appropriately rated now.
Okay. Okay. Fair. I think he's a little underrated because of how good he is defensively.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. Well, I know Adams fouled out of that game too, and that was tough for them. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but a good it was a good game, and then you know Houston's up 6-14 on Minnesota. So
not surprised.
No, I'm not either. When they said they were going to go into Cat more, it's like that's not what the NBA is now. Teams want you to do that.
Yeah, they do.
That series still feels like the one sweep of all of these.
Oh yeah.
Eventually, so.
Although I think
Boston is going to sweep, honestly.
They might, dude. The way the Bucks are just not good.
I can't figure it out.
Well they don't. Two words. Is this for? I don't know his first name. Prunty. Joe Prunty.
Yeah.
Two words. I like Joe Prunty as a human being. He's not a good coach. No, he's the interim coach who took over for Kidd.
Yeah, he was a Cavs longtime Cavs assistant.
I know. I like Joe Prunty as a Cavs assistant.
Telling Tom.
I don't like Joe Prunty as the head coach
years of the aughts, Tom.
Really?
In some of that, I think, yeah.
Like with Mike Brown?
I think so. Didn't he coach under Mike Brown?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds familiar now.
Tom. Tom going full on Hannity on us.
Yeah. Look, if Prunty wants to save his job, he should probably play Dellavedova like 40 minutes a game
in
the playoffs.
Not only that, Malcolm Brogdon just looks so much better than Bledsoe.
Yeah,
I mean,
he does.
Bledsoe just seems like...
I'm glad we didn't get Bledsoe.
I was going to say, remember when LeBron wanted Bledsoe?
Yeah, he would have been like IT just a little taller, I think. I don't think we would have liked his attitude.
I don't know. I think Bledsoe to me is almost more athletic Larry Hughes.
Ugh. Yeah, he's got a better shot than Larry Hughes.
Better or worse? Larry Hughes was 6'5 and had a 6'10 wingspan. And he could play a little defense, just no one knew that because they were so frustrated with his offense. He actually wasn't a bad defensive guard at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry Hughes was maybe, I don't know. Yeah, let's not talk about Larry Hughes. That's a big rabbit.
Yeah, let's not do that.
So let's go back into one of the things I wanted to ask you about is so after game one, Ty Lue said he wasn't changing the lineup. And then today, J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver started. So my pet theory on this is LeBron basically took Ty Lue aside and said, you know, we can't play Jeff Green anymore. And so said, give me some shooters because Jeff Green is jamming up the whole offense. And
yeah, well, it was interesting to see that tonight – Jeff Green was used for what he was brought in for, which is to spell LeBron at the small forward for, you know, 10 minutes a night.
Yeah. And he had some terrible plays tonight, I felt like. Like, he had a couple defensive plays. Like, when Sabonis drives on you from the perimeter and then scores, and you are a supposed defensive specialist.
Yeah, I remember that play.
That's not good. Yeah. Like, that guy has, you know, he's not getting back to his offhand on a drive. Just overplay his strong hand and you've won. You know, I didn't get that one. And who else on the bench? I mean, did you guys see anything else from Green that said that kind of validated that he should not be playing that much?
No, I'm just glad that Ty Lue didn't play him. I mean, I don't give Ty Lue credit for a lot, but I will give him credit for at least recognizing that was a stupid idea to say Jeff Green's going to be in the starting lineup from now on and until I say different. And I'm glad that he said different. I'm not so sure that that was the five I would have gone with. I probably would have put Nance in there and said, let's run, James, Love, Nance, Hill, and Korver, or Korver or Smith, with depending. But, but look, it worked for a quarter. Yeah. And then, then unfortunately, when you put all those guys in the starting lineup, then you've got the guys that come in and replace them. And I thought Nance did a pretty good job. I thought Nance got held a lot by Turner and by
yeah, he doesn't look comfortable with just playoff physicality to me.
No,
he's not. I feel like he's adjusting to that a little bit, but yeah, he hasn't quite. Yeah,
better than the other guys, probably. Yeah.
Like, it's just more physical, and he's kind of, like I said, I see him getting his hands on a lot of balls that he should come away with, and he doesn't. Like, it's slapped out of his hands.
Yeah.
But he's getting pushed around down low a little bit.
Yeah. But there was also a couple of things that really were unfortunate that stopped the Cavs' momentum at times tonight too. Like, George Hill just got going and hit a couple of nice shots in the early fourth quarter, and then he picked up his fifth foul on a questionable call because it was kind of an Oladipo flop.
Oh yeah.
And then
he pushed off too hard, but like I said, that's kind of a situation where.
Yeah,
they
but they
were
haven't
letting
been calling
so,
it on the other side all night.
Yeah, they were just letting so much holding go on. Yeah. So a guy then, because Oladipo jammed into Hill at the initial part of the drive, and it's like, okay, I mean, that normally would be a foul, but you didn't call it.
Yeah.
So now you got Hill trying to clear out some space for himself, and then, and then a flop,
well,
and then he calls it.
And I think the fifth foul that EG was talking about was on defense, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was the one where Oladipo
ran into three guys
and then
fell
just
down.
Threw up a prayer, and George Hill was standing next to him. Yeah,
and so was LeBron. And it's why wouldn't she get the foul? I mean, LeBron was actually closer to Oladipo than Hill was.
Yeah,
but
nobody touched him. It was a terrible call. I mean, Oladipo's getting got some star calls that game, and Bojan Bogdanović had a couple Oscar-worthy moments for his flops in that game.
Well, that's about all he did for them this game.
Yeah. And there's another guy quiet. I feel like he kind of did nothing for them in the playoffs, for Washington in the playoffs last year. And so hopefully that continues for the Pacers. He does.
But that's the thing. As long as you close out on Bogdanović, he's a little bit like Love that way, in that he's not going to – if you close out on him, he's not going to take the contested three. He's not that guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was really happy tonight that Love, on that pump fake, when he recognized he still had a little bit of space, he just went up and stroked it. That was a big three.
Yeah,
that was a huge three. And I thought the pump fake was going to throw him off.
And then right after that, he got his thumb hurt and didn't go back in.
Yeah,
that's
and the
what I'm
Cavs,
saying. Like, there were all those kinds of momentum shifts where it's they finally got it going, and then something
happens.
That was
particularly bad because the Cavs should have come up with a turnover there, and instead it was a bucket.
They should have, and it was a three. I think it was a three by Collison, right?
Yeah. I don't remember if it was a three, but they definitely got a bucket out of it. And I was thinking, no, come on, we should have come away with that, and instead, Love's on the sideline with his hand flopped at its side and.
That was not a good look.
No, it reminded me of when his shoulder got pulled out. It was just his arms just kind of hanging
there. It's like it was like Madge with Palm Olive. I'm soaking in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, look,
more old man references for.
I think if I'm Nate McMillan and the Pacers, I'm feeling pretty good that went in. Bo raced them in the first Cavs in the first game, and then this was a much closer game than it initially looked like it was going to be. Yeah. With LeBron going off for basically half the Cavs points with 46. And, you know, I mean, it's, they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves, you know, but that's, look, I went into this talking in looking at the matchup feeling like, look, Indy's a tough place to play. They've been a scrappy team all year. They can physical up on defense, but you know, they, other than Oladipo, they don't have a lot of guys that can fill it up on a consistent basis. Turner has his nights. Collison has his nights. Bogdanović has his nights. But typically, not more than like one of those other guys is probably going to go off for them. The same was true tonight. I mean, part of why they held Oladipo down to just 22 points is because of the foul trouble. You know, but they again, like, he was the guy taking a lot of their shots, and you know, Turner had to fill it in for him early. But I don't feel like Indiana has, like, infinitely – like, I don't feel like the Indiana is even close to the Cavs as far as talent goes. The problem is how is that talent being used?
Well, on the other side,
what are the rotations being put through? Like, to not play – and I get it. You have to stick with a certain amount of guys. And look, Ty Lue played 10 guys tonight. And he played 10 guys at least – 13 minutes apiece. So it's hard to complain with that, but when,
and LeBron did not play over 40 minutes. So,
well, he played exactly.
Yeah, well, they're lucky they got the win. I was shocked when he let the first 4 minutes of the fourth go by with no real point guard and with no LeBron as that lead got whittled down.
Yeah.
But
how do you not find a spot minutes for Jetty defensively? How do you not take advantage of what Zizek brings against Sabonis when Indiana goes bigger? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to get abused in the paint if you're smart and if you're able to make adjustments within game like that.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think what you're saying there is don't play Jeff Green. You know,
sure.
Pretty much, and then
I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, and I mean, look,
at least he didn't play Tristan. At least he didn't try to say, yeah, "Oh, we're getting beat on the boards. Let's put Tristan in." Like, thank God for that.
Yeah. Well, the other side of that, I felt like Kyle Korver played a fantastic game on both ends of the court. I mean,
yeah, he did.
And you know, LeBron James, you could say he was the only one that showed up, but I really felt like Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith, I felt like the starters outside of George Hill, but even George Hill a little bit, really played a good game that game. And then kind of Larry Nance was the sixth man. And I just don't know if there's enough minutes. You've got to cut somebody out. You can't run a 12-man rotation. I would love to see Chetty over Jeff Green. I just don't think there's any chance you're going to see Ante Zizic. I mean, it's just that point to me has been made abundantly clear.
I'm not fool enough to believe that will ever happen unless there's an injury. But what I'm saying is, against a team like Indiana, like, look at your matchups, right?
Oh yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah,
when Indy plays a front line of, you know, of Thad Young and Sabonis and, you know, whether it's Turner or Bogdanović or whatever, like, you can take advantage of that with a Zizic who's got good post moves, who can score inside, who's a great dive man. I mean, like these are things that you look at and you say, well, a smart coach would do that. A smart coach would say, I don't care who's in there. So if a guy can help me out and be a matchup problem for a team, even for 5 minutes a game, I'm doing it. I'm taking that shot.
Well, I can see that, but that's not really the kind of coach that Lou is. I mean, that's a Steve Kerr move.
No, that's abundantly clear.
Yeah.
Ty Lue is the greatest Photoshop I've ever seen is that one where you see it's Ty Lue drawing on the grease board, and then he turns it around and it just says, give the ball to LeBron. Like, literally, that may be one of my top five, like, all-time favorite
memes
or whatever. Like, yes. It's just It's hilarious because it's true. And he admits it. At least he's man enough to admit it and just say, oh, yeah, I'm just going to play LeBron as much as I can and just keep giving him the ball.
Yeah, and that was
a good plan, Ty. Good plan. I could come up with that plan.
I mean, you touched on something a minute ago where you're talking about the big lineup. And the Cavs finally ran that big lineup where they had LeBron and Nance and Love and Jeff Green and I think it was Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. And then immediately after that happened, Love jammed his thumb. And I was like, I really wanted to see how that lineup was going to gel because I was actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that lineup could be a problem for them, and then it just kind of never developed.
Well, that lineup will definitely be a problem for Toronto if the Cavs can get past Indy, but which I felt going into this was kind of a no-brainer. But again, like, I guess there's no accounting for the fact that, you know, in game one, LeBron didn't take a shot until there was like 2 minutes left in the first quarter, or, you know, everybody on the team combined to go 8 for 38 from three. And it's like, well, hey guys, if your threes aren't falling, maybe you should try driving the ball a little more. You know, I mean, it's just, I think this team, I know that some people feel they're unprepared, and that's probably true. But there's also times where it feels like they just don't come out with any sort of energy. And tonight, that was what was, that first quarter was a clinic in terms of like what this team's capable of if they're focused. If they say, hey, our backs are to the wall, we can't go down 0-2 at home and then go to Indy and try to win four straight. Like, we can't do that, right? We're not that team anymore. We don't have Kyrie. We don't have, you know, a non-banged up Kevin Love anymore. I mean, he just always seems to be. So if you're looking at it from that perspective, it's like, well, yeah, guess what? If you guys all just focused the way you did in the first quarter tonight, this wouldn't be a series.
Yeah.
But they fall into bad habits, and you know, they still play guys like Jeff Green, and you know, and I've been a big Jordan Clarkson supporter, but you know, he hasn't looked, other than those couple of aggressive drives and, you know, a couple of nice things he did defensively, he just hasn't been that, he hasn't been that punch scorer off the bench, at least in the first two games. So I'm hoping that'll turn around in Indy because they're going to need it. And maybe being on the road will be easier for these guys somehow, because maybe the expectations of playing playoff games at home for a team that they're brand new to, that won a championship 2 years ago, is, you know, accounts for more than what we're realizing. Who knows?
Yeah, I would think that might be true, but they've never played well in Indy. You know, that's the other side of that. But Tom, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So what do the Cavs have to do to win game three? Like, who needs to improve? What adjustments should the Cavs make? You know, what's the route to victory in game three?
So I think that a lot of guys need to play better. And no, I mean, I think George Hill needs to play better. I think J.R. Smith offensively, it'd be nice if he could get going a little bit. Hopefully Kevin Love's healthy. You don't need LeBron to do like what he did tonight to win a game. You just need to like spread around the offense a little bit. The Cavs just, they're getting in. They're not winning a lot of these slow down, like half court sets where they're getting sort of bullied by the Pacers. So I would just say, just, that's why I really love to see someone like Chetty play, because he's real disruptive, you know, and he's a physical player. And I think he'd be a nice kind of spark in this series, generate some turnovers. And, you know, he's just the kind of guy that'll like full court press to keep the other team a little bit on their heels, where the Cavs did a little bit of that tonight, but especially in Indiana where that crowd's going to be all jacked up, and they're a young team, so they're definitely going to come out with more energy at home. Although they've had a lot of energy at the Q. I felt like they have not had an issue getting like up for these games. So, I mean, I think the Cavs can pull it off, but I mean, it's dangerous. I mean, this reminds me, and I said this in the, I made this comparison. In fact, a bunch of us made this comparison in the 5-on-5, that from a threat level, this feels pretty reminiscent of that series against the Bulls in 2014. And that's the same kind of thing you're dealing with here, where I mean, that series could have easily gone the other way. The Cavs got a little bit lucky with some timely JR buckets, and then, of course, LeBron hitting a game winner, and David Blatt not, like, getting that technical foul when he probably should have.
Yeah.
Well, I'm...
Holy crap, the Indians are still tied after 12 innings.
I think I got on third, too. What happened?
Well... Well, they just got out of the bottom of the 12th. Cody Allen had first and or second and third, one out, strikeout, line out to end the inning.
I saw they had a guy on third in their half.
God, these extra inning games are brutal because they screw up your bullpen for like the next two games.
Yeah.
Well, and they're in Puerto Rico, so they have to fly back.
Who are they playing in Puerto Rico?
The Twins.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
No, because both teams had two Puerto Rican stars with Lindor and Perez on the Indian side, and then Berrios. I like it. It's good for baseball. It's good for the morale of the Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's 30 degrees in Cleveland. So,
well, yeah, but they'd probably rather be playing Cleveland. You see how much these guys are sweating because of the humidity?
Well, yeah, but at least they can hit the damn ball. I mean, these games in Minnesota and Cleveland, it's like it's gotta hurt to hit that ball when it's 35 degrees.
Break bones hitting the ball with your frozen bat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
your bat-sickle.
Yeah, you literally got to have a bat heater to warm up your bat.
Albert Bell's probably got one of those.
I'm
back
sure.
in the day.
It's probably got its own
bat.
Joey.
Yeah. So
did he just get arrested? Like
he did, but he got acquitted. I guess they let go of the indecent exposure charge.
And, you know, I kind of expect football players, once they retire, to get fat, but I'm pretty amazed with how fat a lot of these baseball players are.
Well, you know they're all bankrupt, right, Tom?
But you know what happens when you stop taking the roids.
That is true.
Well, okay, guess who didn't roid? Greg Maddux. Have you seen how much weight he's carrying?
Yeah, but he's a pitcher from Atlanta.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
No. We're not explaining that, Tom. We're just letting that sit there. That was great.
Wait, so Nate, well, you answer the question. What do the Cavs have to do to win game three?
So one of the things that I feel like with Jordan Clarkson, when they went in the fourth quarter and it was Love and Clarkson and Hood and Green and Nance, they did a kind of a concerted effort to get Kevin Love the ball on the post. And I felt like those were really good looks, and they ran some design plays to do that. And we've said that, you know, earlier in the season that Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance seem to do a lot better with plays than they do with this kind of scripted or this freelance offense that the Cavs run. And because kind of Jordan reverts to his base instincts of just throwing everything up. And I felt like a lot of those looks were pretty good. You know, and then one of them, you know, Jeff Green did something dumb, and they, you know, I would like to see Jeff Green not out there and Chetty Osmond out there instead, but you know, I feel like the Cavs need to run more plays. The other play that I really liked was the pick and pop with LeBron James and Kyle Korver. And most of Kyle Korver's minutes mirrored LeBron, which I was really happy to see tonight. And you remember those pick and pops where, you know, Korver would pop out to the left wing? And they got a three out of it, and then they got another look for LeBron in the first half where he got that dunk because
Korver that was great.
Right back to him.
Yeah. He's very smart about that.
Yeah, they need to do that more. They need to, you know, run some real plays. And the other thing I feel like is Korver is a real key to that game. I saw a thing. He's a career 43% three-point shooter in Indy. So I feel like getting Kyle Korver established and kind of using him to run some offense would be really good for them.
That would.
I'm not wild about LeBron in the post against the first unit, but against the second unit, I really like him against, you know, Corey Booker, who could not stop foul, or not Corey Booker, not the
Trevor Booker.
Cory Booker, the blind governor of New Jersey. No. Trevor Booker.
Now, is it Trevor Booker or Corey Joseph?
Or Dick Scott. Yeah, one of the things. Anyway, I feel like Kevin's got a good matchup there, and that's where you should run him in the post. And then I'd also love to see some high-low with Nance and Love, but I also, the other thing, the Cavs need to run lineups they ran in the regular season. And they have these guys together that are used to playing together. Like,
there's two problems there, and that is he was not a great lineup guy. And the second problem is they just kept having random injuries throughout the season that throw everything off. I mean, and then we had the honeymoon period, and then promptly George Hill gets hurt, and then Nance gets hurt, and it just
And then
Then Chetty got hurt, and Love was hurt for weeks, and they never really got to. They never really established a lineup that they trusted. And I still, like I said, I'm watching them now on offense, and I'm like, these guys don't know where to go. They're actually running into each other on the weak side, and that's you shouldn't have that.
Yeah, I also Rodney Hood needs. They need to figure out what Rodney Hood's good at and just have him do that. And I feel like they ran that C cut for him early in the first game, and then they never went back to that. I was like, that's a play Rodney Hood could be really successful at. You know, just a little mid range pin down. But they don't run it like they used to run for Dwayne Wade. And why don't they run stuff like that? It's just kind of baffling at times.
Play Rodney Hood.
Well, yeah, there is that. But I feel like in certain situations he can be good, but I don't think he's a playmaker. You know what I mean? Rodney Hood.
Like, no,
he did just give birth to twins, so.
Well, yeah.
Well, he didn't.
That takes a toll on your body.
Yeah, that's two assists in one possession, so.
Yeah, it was, too. That's as many babies as he had today.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, look.
What about you, EG? What's your game three recipe?
I don't know that the success from game two can be replicated in that. I don't think that Oladipo is going to wind up getting 3,000 in the first half in Indy. However, if the Cavs also had foul trouble, and if George Hill getting in foul trouble really kind of messed with the design of that starting lineup tonight, which sort of prevented them from running some stuff before. Because again, like when you have like Jose is good, but he's not, you know, he's not quite George Hill, I don't think, or at least respect wise, I think guys aren't gonna. You know, I think Hill can at least get his own shot, as he showed in the late third, early fourth quarter. But you know, when your lead guard only plays 20 minutes because he's in foul trouble and winds up fouling out of the game, you know, it's gonna affect some of the things you can do. So I think hopefully the Cavs can stay a little bit more out of foul trouble. But the one thing I would do, and someone's gonna have to do it at some point, the way that the officials are allowing this series to be called, someone's gonna have to put Oladipo on his rear end on one of these drives.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, then he's just gonna keep doing his James Harden light thing, where he's just gonna keep driving in a straight line to the hole, and look, none of the Cavs can really stop him that way. But heck, put Perk in for a possession or two, and have him just absolutely not dirty foul, but hard foul.
No, it can be dirty.
Mean, if you're not going to play Zizic, you might as well sit him and play Perk. And
sure,
yeah. Well, that brings up another point. Why the hell don't the Cavs foul layups more? It drives me nuts. They just
no. They only foul layups after the guy's already got the ball on the backboard. So it's like, it's a foul, but he's going to make the shot. It's always going to be an and one.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I saw tonight that drove me nuts. LeBron's defensive hands. He has his hands below his shoulders all the time on defense.
Oh, that's a Nate Smith no-no.
Drives me nuts. Hand down, man down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just was like, there's a couple times it's like, they're not even trying to contest. They're just, you know, foul to stop a layup or whatever, or foul in transition. Like, they had one. Didn't they give up a 4-on-5 when Love got hurt? And it's like, no, you take a foul there to stop. And of course, in that was in the second quarter, I think. And you do, because Love fell down and kind of hurt right. his knee. And it's like, take a foul.
No, no, no. It was his ankle. He stepped on what's his name's foot after he came down.
Take a foul there. You're not in the bonus. Stop the five on four. It's just like dumb things like
that. As long
as
it's not George Hill, take the foul.
Yeah.
No, but
dumb things like that.
That's the catch 23 again. Like, if you want LeBron to score, go out of his mind and be a score 20 points in the first quarter and score almost 50 for the game, he's probably not going to lock in too much on defense. He's probably, I mean, he hasn't been all year anyways. So, you know, I mean, there are plenty of times where, I mean, I think I counted like three times he guarded Oladipo the whole game.
Yeah.
And one of them, he got beat on a layup where Oladipo did the same thing and drove straight right by him. You know?
Well, he did the whole thing where I'm going to lay off just a touch and then block you at the rim. And Oladipo was too quick for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he
is too quick. He's a very fast player.
Yeah. And his release was too quick too. And LeBron didn't get there. And it was like, oh, LeBron looking a little old here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm amazed that he's able to finish on the other side of the rim with his other hand too. I mean, that's just a really sick move. If you got that in your arsenal, then like he didn't have that last year in OKC, right? Well, and maybe
he didn't see the ball a lot either.
Well, but somebody mentioned it. It was like one of the non-ridiculous things that I thought was said on the TNT broadcast by the announcers, which was he played a whole season with Russ, and he's sort of picked up Russ's style, where Russ does that same thing where he stays at the top of the key for like, you know, like 8 feet out and then gets a running start. And, you know, although Russ tends to pass it a little bit more than Oladipo does, but man, that's that same sort of like straight line, straight ahead speed where he just gets to the hoop faster than you can, you know?
Well, the other thing is I will say Russ probably gets some better screens than Oladipo does, because Steven Adams, when he
screens,
it's like that guy must be one of the more vicious screen setters in the league.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And props to, speaking of hard screens, props to George Hill for playing tonight, because he got laid out by Trevor Booker in game one. Cross check.
Yeah,
that's why Trevor Booker needs to go down, dude. He needs a perk elbow to the temple.
He does.
Yeah,
he does. Come on, let's everyone channel our inner Austin Carr. Send some vibes,
dude. I'll tweet. I'll at that, man. I'll say, hey, Trevor Booker, look out for flying elbows next game, bro.
Yep.
You're about to get an angry Smurf upside your head.
Pacers have been way physical in both games. Cavs need someone to
someone. But that's my point. Like, I think that's the key to winning at least one game in Indy is Cavs are going to have to get tough. They're going to have to put Oladipo on his ass, and then things might get testy, and it's the playoffs, and Lance Stevenson's involved, and it's just – but that's how it is. Like, if you go back and remember those knockdown dragouts that LeBron used to have when he was with the Heat when they played the Pacers, it's that same – like, the Pacers haven't forgotten that. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's still guys
Lance was on those teams, too.
Yeah, but also the Pacers fans haven't forgotten. Like, this is a whole thing where Andy just wants to try to punk LeBron because he punked him for, like, four straight years when he was on the Heat. So, and again, last year, they swept him. I mean, the games were close, but even with Paul George, the Cavs swept him last year in the first round. So, they're going to have to be tough.
I'd love to see George Hill have a big night in that building, too, because he's had a lot of big nights in that building. So I feel like someone of George Hill, J.R. Smith, and maybe Clarkson, one of those guys got to have a big night to win that game. Yeah. I'd love to see Clarkson go off, but I will settle right now for him not doing stupid stuff. I've seen him play some nice D, make some nice defensive plays. He's not forcing things. He's just, you know, he's got to find that mix. And part of that is just being really young, really pretty much his first playoffs. So I hope he gets it. I'm rooting for him. He's got a lot of talent. He had a nice drive tonight and should have had another one that he missed. But
yeah,
I thought he took good shots tonight. I mean, people were ragging on him. But
I've been on his bandwagon for a while. I liked him when he played for the Lakers and he can make bad choices, but usually if you have him out there with an adult, it's okay. And right, tonight, exactly. the Cavs had both other point guards in a lot of foul trouble. So, you know, I think that changes if they can stay out of it in the next game. But honestly, my expectation from how the first two games went will be they'll probably go in and drop game three because Indy will have their you know, their home crowd, and they'll be amped up, and then backs to the wall, the Cavs will probably squeak out game four, and, you know,
that's what it feels like.
Well, so, I hope maybe the Cavs, you know, kind of flip the script on them a little bit, but we'll see.
I hope so.
So the other
it really depends on Love's health too. Like if they say he's going to be okay to go, but if he can't shoot the ball, then if he can't shoot the ball, that takes up a big reason for him being on the floor.
Well, plus that thumb injury, that can hurt rebounding, and he's been such a good defensive rebounder this series
for sure.
So hopefully he keeps that thing on ice for 2 days. The other guy I felt like needs to have a better game in Indy is Jose Calderon, who had some good plays, but also had a couple terrible turnovers that game. He had that one where he had Love just wide open in the post and just didn't pass it to him for whatever reason. And then just ended up a turnover over on the left sideline. And it's like, you know, just make the easy play, make the easy pass. And that's the Cavs a lot. Like, you see when they make the easy pass and just run the offense, it's so much easier, but they kind of go hunting for that home run pass. And I just want to see him, like Ben says, just swing the ball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, just move. Like, watch the way, I mean, I'm watching the way Philly plays offense. They get two or three shooters out there with a guy that, you know, can see the floor, and they're just moving all the time, all of them. And they're just every single one. And it's a terror to defend.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to move when you're 26 as opposed to 36.
But
Kyle still moves.
No, yeah. I know, but
I'm so impressed with him. He had that huge strip late.
That was huge.
And he had gotten robbed on a couple calls earlier. Like, he gets called. I swear, there's two guys on the Cavs, and it's not so much JR this year anymore, who used to always get jobbed by the refs, but Nance and Kyle Korver just feel like they get jobbed by the refs all the time.
All the time.
Like, Kyle, I agree with that. He had that one where he just kind of like, Turner ran him over, and he got called for a blocking foul.
When you get run into and you fall down, then you get the foul.
Yeah, I guess if your name's not Bojanovic, you don't get a flopping foul.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That flop that he had on LeBron. It's like, I feel the slightest pressure on my back, and I'm going to dive forward.
Oh, yeah. How about the one where he dribbled his off his own foot, and he's yelling at the, like, gesticulating wildly at the ref about how Kyle Korver knocked it out? And it was like,
by the way, if I'm Ty Lue or LeBron, I'm talking to the refs about, hey, Miles Turner's footwork, because I swear to God, he moves his pivot foot every time he scores.
He did. That was a happy feet.
He takes four steps every time he drives to the hoop.
He has happy feet.
Did anybody see the blatant Collison double dribble down in the left corner at the end of the game? Yeah. It was like, what was that? I mean, he just picked it up, spun around, and then put it back down.
I don't know if NBA refereeing has been worse than this year. I really don't.
It is really bad, and I think that's part of the tensions between the players and the refs now. And I think a lot of that is that a lot of these older refs have retired or moved on or whatever, and the officiating is just not as good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been horrific this year. Horrific.
Yeah, and I don't know if these...
And shameful. And, like, what are these guys getting paid for? Seriously.
I mean, these last two-minute reports have been awful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that Turner does a ton is grab Larry Nance.
All the time. Every play. Every time down the court.
I mean, Larry, that's why they need to play Perk. And then just, you know, he does that to Perk and pop him with an elbow.
Well, but that's what they used to do to Tristan when he was back when Tristan was actually playable. And Tristan knew how to deal with that. And Maybe. Unfortunately, Tristan's between like
26 and he's not playable.
I know.
Seriously, the 16 million man that sits on the bench.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what he's been doing with his spare time. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Having babies.
A girl in every port, apparently.
He's the new age Sean Kemp.
same butt.
Start calling him the Rain Man.
Yeah. So yeah, Tristan, I'm surprised that's not more of a distraction. I'm glad he's not playing, just for that reason alone.
Like, oh, it would be if he was playing.
Yeah, I feel like it would be a much bigger distraction if he was playing. Oh, did you hear the news? Speaking of distractions, that Iman Shumpert is stepping away from basketball for a little while to concentrate on his rap career.
To work on his rap career.
Yeah, so great.
That's awesome.
Which means
good for Shump.
Well, which means the
hey, it finally worked. Please stop dribbling, Shump. Please stop playing basketball, Shump. Right.
Well, yeah, from now until October.
Oh,
because the Kings are out of the playoffs.
Edwin.
Yeah.
Play runs. That could only mean one thing. A home run.
Yep. Finally. That was I thought someone shot you, Tom.
I thought you LeBron leaned into you like you were Bojanovic.
I thought you got hit by Trevor Booker.
Exactly.
This would be a huge
or like you saw Dick Scott out the window.
Well, and you really would have heard something.
I so wish next time I'm up in Michigan, I will get a picture of that. It's so great. So, have we kind of beaten this horse to death? Are there any of these other playoff series you want to talk about?
I'm glad Philly proved it's possible for them to lose.
Yeah.
Well,
you want to talk about my all-time...
They were feeling themselves a little bit too much, I think.
Yeah, and you want to talk about my all-time least favorite takes. So the day before that game, what's his name? Goldhammer?
Yeah.
From the really big show in Cleveland, Aaron Goldhammer tweets out, "Mark my words, the Cavs are going to regret giving away Dwayne Wade for nothing." And I just laughed at that. I was like, seriously? And then, of course, the very next day, Dwayne Wade goes off. And then this is how low rent is it? He he tags his own tweet, like responds to his own tweet and puts it up there. I'm like, really? Come on, man. And
dude,
like,
it's the land on demand.
It's so like, sun even shines on a dog's,
BUGG
moment for Dwayne Wade. I mean, he's been mostly more bad than good all season, but he does.
He was vintage Wade that game.
Oh, yeah,
you
he was.
I mean, he was vintage Wade.
Yeah.
Like, he was hitting step backs, turnarounds, like it was nothing.
Yeah. And then you're like, damn it. Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, I wrote earlier this week is, like, Wade was kind of shown the door for, quote-unquote, lawyering.
Right.
And I took that as a guy who really didn't like playing for...
Ty Lue.
And then, of course, he got moved on, and it's like... Well, maybe he was right, you know, from everything we've seen from Ty Lue since then. So,
but by the way, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. Like, he was absolutely right about Ty Lue. He can adjust in game. However, Dwayne Wade was also a lawyer. I mean, he was also the guy that divided the. Yeah, I mean, it's just who he is. He's the aging superstar.
Yeah,
with three rings that likes to take shots. Shots from the peanut gallery. Yeah.
He created a logo that looks like a butthole.
What?
You always say that.
It looks just like the logo.
Okay, now I gotta look this up.
That they create.
Wade logo.
Trust me, you'll never unsee it now that you've heard that.
If only the background was brown.
Well, if you ever watch the show Community, they make the Greendale logo and they make it look just like that.
Yeah, well, there's also, if you ever watch The League, they have this woman, and her nickname is MLA, Mouth Like.
Right.
And once you see that, you can't unsee it, so same yeah. deal.
It's true, though. Yeah, I can't. And Tom said that, like, years ago, and then on a pod, and it stuck with me. It literally, because I looked at it, I was like, oh, yeah. And then I can't look at it anymore without thinking that.
Yep. That is so great. Yeah, it is.
World of Wade.
World of Wade.
World of Stink yeah, Eye.
Way of Wade, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the other? I mean, I don't feel like Milwaukee is getting by Boston. I mean, Boston.
They might take a game. I mean, look, Boston's had some really good performances from the young guys. Not at the same time. Like, they've had, like, Tatum went off in game one, and then Brown went off in game two, and then, like, Rozier had a decent game two also. I mean, there's bound to be one game in this series that the Celtics just can't score, and Milwaukee gets one just on the back of a really, really, like, dominant Giannis performance. But I don't think it's either four or five games at this point.
Yeah. And I feel like Utah, OKC, after splitting, that series is going at least six.
Feels like it.
Feels like it. Yeah.
And then, you know, Houston, I think, is sweeping. Philly, Miami.
I don't know which way that one's going, to be honest.
Dude, Kelly Olynyk. I've never rooted for Kelly Olynyk until
now.
Yesterday. Yeah.
I don't know. I still can't root for Kelly Olynyk.
he might have cost us a ring.
He is one of my all-time least favorite players.
No, I'm with you, but I am so sick of the Philly bandwagon and the trust the process and this whole thing. Like,
I love that they booed their own team off the floor after like winning 18 straight games.
Of course, because
they were
Philly.
Down in a quarter. Yeah,
because it's Philly. Because the worst thing that can happen in the world is that Philly starts to win championships again, like the Eagles did, and now the freaking 76ers feel like they can. Like, it's just Philly people are awful people. I know a lot of Philly people. I don't care. Let them look. They can look me up online. I don't think I've ever met anybody from Philly that was a nice person.
Yes,
it's tied up
again. They tied
it. What happened, Tom?
Miguel Sano hit a home run. That's now 1-1. Nobody out.
Because of course it is. They're gonna run out of electricity down there. They are. They almost did today, right?
Where's that?
It was a power outage in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe they'll just call it for darkness. And they used to do that in the Little League games. Anyways, to continue my Philly rant, and that's probably not true. I've probably met a few people from Philly that I've thought were just okay. But every time I've been to Philly, it's just mean people, and they boo everything. And then when they win, they act like, oh, it's like the worst of the what Boston people do.
The city of hate, huh? The city of
kind
of
brotherly hate. Yeah, man.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, you think you got Ben Franklin from your town, and you just all that, I guess. No, it's probably too extreme of a take. I should back off of that a little bit and say apologies to any of our blog readers that may be from Philly. And
yeah, but if you are from Philly, you know he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I'd probably be like that if I was from Philly too. It's just something about that.
Something in the water there.
Yeah.
Well, now Villanova wins again.
They booed Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That's the best. Yeah. So,
anyways.
Out west.
Oh, wait, we didn't say Toronto. You think Toronto sweeps the Wizards? Oh,
so, they're talking about on Kornheiser this morning, like, seriously, do the Wizards blow it up at this point? Because they are stuck in NBA no man's land with three max contracts, eighth seed at best, and no opportunity to get any better. Like, that team just, John Wall just makes that team worse. You know what I mean? it's yeah. This is a terrible team. And he is like a master choke artist, and I don't know what the heck that team is doing. So that's just baffling.
We had the conversation about would you trade the whoever they take with the first pick for somebody else for Wall, which I know you wouldn't do, and I probably wouldn't do either. But what about Beal? Would you do it for Beal?
Would I do it for Beal? Possibly.
If LeBron stayed.
Even if LeBron didn't stay, I might. I like Beal a lot. I think that team's messed up. I feel like if LeBron leaves, though, the Cavs really need... Well, and he is a guard, but I feel like they need a point guard more than anything. Of course, they'll have George Hill at $20 million, and nobody's going to take that contract. So,
yeah. Well, they might take it prorated at the deadline. When you only have to pay for half of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a team that would need a veteran guard if LeBron leaves, then... Look, I think if LeBron leaves, all bets are off. I think, you know, they'll probably try to move Love for something and find a way to stretch pay Tristan and, you know, just start over with the young guys.
Yeah, I don't know. It remains to be seen. Hopefully he doesn't, but I have more worry now than I did a week ago, that's for sure. Because I feel like Dan Gilbert's unwillingness to pay out Ty Lue's $21 million salary is probably, like, Ty Lue probably wanted to resign, and that's kind of what that health thing was.
Oh, Nate, come on. I was playing video games. Don't make me jump in here and start
I thought the Twins hit another home run or something.
Yeah. No, somebody scored on him in Rocket League.
But there is an in play, no out. So we'll see if this guy got more than a single.
How
after everything that we've been through here this year, how can you say that Dan Gilbert is unwilling to pay another coach to not coach? That's like his most.
I don't know how you can, if you were paying attention to what this team did in the regular season and the significance of this offseason for the Cavaliers, how you cannot have fired Ty Lue at some point this year. I mean, that's how bad I feel like he's been.
Because that guy had heart trouble or whatever.
And because he won a title here.
Yeah, but he's been god awful.
In the regular season.
I guess. I don't know.
He's been pretty good in the postseason.
I know.
Look, if they get bounced in the first round, or even in the second round, then there's a case to be made.
Yeah.
There's a case to be made. Yeah. But by the way, I mean, look, it's funny. Like, everyone wants to say, well, LeBron's... I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear in the media, people around town saying like, oh, well, you know, this could be the last home game in a Cavs uniform if they lose or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but where is he going? Like, I'm yet to have someone tell me definitively where they think he would go.
Well, a lot of people are saying Philly. I don't see it personally, but
Philly still has to give up a lot to get to sign LeBron.
Yeah, well, that is true.
And if Philly makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals and the Cavs somehow do too, if the Cavs lose to Philly, you think LeBron's pulling a KD and going to Philly? Or if they beat them, do you think he's going to the team that he beat? Same with Houston, if Houston makes the finals. That's the only real scenario I could see is if the Cavs lose early and the Rockets can't get past the Warriors out west, and it's the Warriors, you know, sweep Philly or the Raptors, because I think that's what would happen. Then maybe LeBron says, all right, I'm going to go to Houston and maybe see if me and Harden and CP3 can take down the Warriors, and that'll be my swan song. I could see that. But even that's got to be a lot of cap gymnastics by Daryl Morey to try to figure that out. They would gut that team. It would be those three guys, probably with at least CP3 and probably LeBron taking pay cuts to make it all work. Which is why LeBron fought as a player representative for so hard for the Supermax deal. I just find it hard to believe he's not going to take advantage of a Supermax deal when that was a big thing that he and Chris Paul and all these other guys fought for.
Yeah. Well, and Chris Paul too. Yeah. I mean, they screwed all these other players out of, the cap, leveling or whatever it was. Basically screwed the guys that were getting paid at the time to pay out future contracts. So, yeah, I feel like if they're going to do that, then they better take the money. So,
but everybody acts like they know. Everybody acts like they know that LeBron's gone already, whether it's Chris Sheridan or guys on ESPN.
Oh, Chris Sheridan. That guy.
No, but I'm saying, like, but there's plenty of people that say, oh, it's Dan Gilbert's politics, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing.
And we talked about that last week. It's like, who's he going to play for that didn't vote for Trump and his enormous tax cut as an NBA owner? You know, I feel like the Lakers, I was out on the Lakers, and then now I'm back. I'm like, the Lakers are a real threat again. I'm feeling like, so I don't know. But of course, every one of those is
I could be dead wrong, but I don't see it.
Every one of those is also like whenever OKC loses a game, and I feel like Paul George is going to the Lakers. So, you know, it changes on a daily basis, and it probably will change on a daily basis. You know, we're not going to know until the end of the season.
Right.
Which, you know, I don't think LeBron...
Well, because LeBron supposedly won't know until the end of the season.
Exactly.
Right?
And I believe that is absolutely true because you saw what happened with the Spurs and the Heat in 3-4 years ago. And I don't think it's any different.
No, if you're him, why would you commit to a team that look, if they show they're not ready to make it even as far as the teams did the last couple of years, then it's probably not going to get a whole lot better. Because even if you get a blue chip guy, even if the Cavs got the number one pick somehow with Nick Gilbert magic and got and drafted Ayton, right? Ayton's not a guy that's going to, I mean, maybe with LeBron, but still, like, there's only like maybe three guys that would make an instant impact in a way that you could count on him in a late playoffs finals kind of matchup. So, you know, unless they're trading that piece for another proven piece, it's kind of hard to believe that that's going to make him, you know, significantly better in the short term. In fact, it makes him better as a long-term rebuild project or process than, you know, if he leaves than if he stays.
Yeah, so. Well, and then there's also the Kawhi rumors, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kawhi seems like a Kyrie head case. Like, you're going to just adopt that whole thing.
Well, I feel like that the other side of that is Kawhi. I heard today basically his people think that they don't want him to end up in a situation like, who was the comparison they used? Who was the guy?
Chris Bosh?
Not Chris Bosh. No. Who was the guy that played
Brandon Roy?
Yeah, Brandon Roy situation where it's like, you know, we're playing when you shouldn't be playing, and or Kyrie Irving.
Or IT.
Or Isaiah Thomas. You're playing when you shouldn't be playing, and now you've kind of screwed up your long-term earning potential. So,
yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, so.
That's a good point.
So, I don't
know. Well, it'll be a really interesting offseason. Yeah. Speaking of the Spurs, do we think they have a shot at taking a game off of Golden State or nah?
The only way I think that happens is if somehow I feel like if they get back to San Antonio and kind of the outpouring of support for Popovich, they kind of play that emotional game and kind of get one for him. I think that's a possibility and that's about it.
Yeah. No, I originally said 5 because I felt like they might surprise him.
Well,
in
and
one
that
game
does...
and maybe.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to say, like, unfortunately, Danny Green's, like, 0 for this series. So, like, the little bit of outside shooting they had is not non-existent. So,
Jan Gomes double to start off the top of the 15th.
I wish I could find what channel it is. I turned to what I thought was SPO.
No, I'm watching.
Oh, it's on ESPN.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it was, yeah.
Why am I playing Ori and the Blind Forest? I should be watching.
Where do you you crack me up, Tom. Regular old ESPN or ESPN2?
ESPN the Ocho.
No, regular ESPN.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there was a featured game because it's in Puerto Rico.
Okay, so Tom, you've got to tell us, what was the story at the beginning of the podcast you were going to tell us?
Oh, how I wound up in Long Beach watching Top Gun in Spanish.
Yes,
absolutely. We need to hear this story.
Okay. All right. I know I've told this story.
I don't remember it.
So I was in California. I was working at Edwards Air Force Base, and I was working with some pilots, and I was going to be there for 2 weeks. So on Friday, one of the pilots that I was working with is like, "What are you doing this weekend?" And there was a golf course there, and I mean, I had my laptop, and I figured I'd watch TV or, you know, go play around a golf or something, but not much, basically. So I just said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm probably, you know, just stick around the hotel there on base." And he's like, "No way, dude. You're not doing that. You're coming with me. We're driving down to the beach. We're going to go hang out with my cousin on the beach." And I'm like, I mean, all right.
How old were you at this time?
This was probably 5 years ago, maybe.
Okay. So did you have kids then?
Yes. Okay. I think I had one and one on the way.
Okay.
So we get in the car. It's me and these two other pilots, and we head down there. And again, I mean, I'm thinking like Top Gun, like playing with the boys, like we're going to be like drinking beer.
Be oiled up playing volleyball.
Exactly.
Flexing.
Shirtless volleyball, yeah.
So we're driving down there. We finally get down, and we pull in a pretty, you know, it seems like a pretty expensive kind of neighborhood of condos. And
Brandon Guyer just got hit.
We did?
On. Yeah, clock.
Not a surprise, by the way.
Why am I watching a commercial?
I don't know.
What's going on?
So what happens when you get down there?
All right. What is going on? When I get down there, his cousin is like an older woman who is definitely trying to act, you know, she's dressing younger than her number of, you know, trips around the sun. We'll just put it that way. So, and she's in bed because she, oh, I did see him get hit. He got hit in the head. Yeah. Wow.
Is he okay?
Yeah. He was trying to lay down a bunt. And
curveball got away.
Yeah. It's clear he wasn't trying to hit him. It was just, I think at this point, everybody's so damn tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this
get down there and she's in bed. So we're in her bedroom and she's in the bed, you know, talking to her.
I'm getting nervous about where this story's going.
No, it doesn't go anywhere too bad, really. But
you got to remember where it ends up. You know where it ends
up. That's true. I do know where it ends up. That's true.
So we're talking and I'm like, this is kind of awkward. Like, I'm just like in this woman's bedroom. She's wearing she's wearing a jumpsuit, you know, and that was basically all she was wearing. I was able to, you know, deduce that based on some other things.
Again, back to being nervous.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fine. So, we were there in the morning because we left super early. So then finally she's like, oh, you know, your Uncle Teddy's coming over or something, or he lives there or something like that. It's actually also his cousin, but they like refer to him as like the uncle. So then this guy shows up and he is like over the top, you know, how you doing? Nice to know you. Like, you know, like put her there kind of guy. It's like, I don't even know you, dude.
Bill Blasky.
Yeah, yeah. And so he starts talking about, oh, what kind of like mixed drinks can I make you? And it's like 10:30 in the morning, right? And I'm thinking, oh, how about I make
it? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I'm like, how about I make you a White Russian? And I'm like, okay, we're all like trying to be nice. Okay, we'll try it or whatever. So then, oh, by the way, so the pilot, he's an awesome guy, by the way. His wife was with us. And this was just the most awkward trip. At one point, it was just me and his wife. And she's like, do you mind if I do my workout? And I was like, I was like, no. She's like, yeah, I just started doing this new thing. It's called like the 100 plan, where you do like 100 of this and 90 of this and 80 of this and all the way down. And it really
is like a Jim Jarmusch film.
It really kicks my butt or whatever. And I was like, okay. And she's like, do you want to do it with me? And I'm thinking like, okay. So we start off.
EG is like,
it's like, really,
how long is
yeah.
it
going
to hold on? We start off doing 100 jumping jacks, you know.
What kind of music was on at the time?
In the living room of this large condo. And, yeah, by the time we got down to 40, whatever, I mean, I was dying. I think I got a hernia. Oh, got him looking. Come on, Frankie. Oh, you got to move the runners. Okay, so then we're done with that. The crazy cousin, you know, Ted or whatever, comes back in. He's been smoking his homegrown weed, and he goes, oh, let's see what's on TV. And, you know, there's actually NFL games on TV because it's like 11 o'clock, but I'm on the West Coast.
Right.
So I was like, oh, let's watch, you know, whomever. Well, I was shocked at how, like, not into pro football anyone
was.
You're
not
going
to like the next 30 seconds, Tom.
I just see a strike one pitch to Kip. Don't tell me he grounds into a DP. Oh, I see in play outs on my feed.
Break two men on, Nick. Strikeout, ground into DP.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
That is Kipness all the way.
Oh, God.
He always does that.
Wow, you're way ahead because he just swung at a ball in the dirt. So anyway, Cousin Ted, you know, who's joking about, you know, his homegrown herbology, is making us all White Russians, and he's flicking through the channels, and Top Gun's on, but it's in Spanish.
Did you just say White Russians?
Yeah.
Like as in...
The dude abides.
Yeah, wow, Tom.
Yeah, so...
I will say,
this
story
is a really weird story.
Could not get any more low-rent California.
So then
you didn't smoke any meth, did you?
No, I didn't do anything. So then he puts on
Brad
Top Gun.
Brad Pitt wasn't asleep on the couch, was he?
No, it's in Spanish, and everyone just thinks this is hilarious that it's in Spanish. So we just left it on and we watched it. Well, then eventually his cousin, the kind of older woman, comes down from like her nap. She'd just gotten surgery, and she kept cracking jokes about how the HGH from Mexico is the top quality, like, HGH you can inject in yourself. Oh, and I thought God. She was actually kidding, but then I realized later, oh, she probably wasn't actually kidding.
that's like an oddly specific reference.
Yeah, so then she's like, hey, how about we go to my boyfriend's house? You know, he's getting his whole backyard redone. It's beautiful. You'll want to see it, and we'll have dinner over there or whatever. So now I'm thinking, like, man, I thought we were just, like, going to the beach, like, hang out on the beach. Like, and I'm just hanging out at this woman's house, and now we're going to, like, her boyfriend's house. So we drive across town to her boyfriend's
like,
house.
Like, hopefully, through this whole experience, you're texting someone your location in case,
yeah, no,
in
I
case
was,
you end
I
up
was,
in a human
I
centipede.
I was definitely keeping people posted about what was going on. So we're heading over there, and I noticed the guy's license plate in front of me was a vanity plate that said "Love being rich." I thought that was like, come on, man! Like, you got to be a little bit more classy than that. So we get
how the heck did he fit that on there? I want to know what the "Love being rich" was.
L U V B N, like R I C, I think something like that.
maybe he's just Rick. Maybe he's love being Rick.
Maybe love being Rick. So we get to her boyfriend's house. It's on Seal Beach. And I kid you not, her boyfriend looks exactly like Warren Buffett. Like exactly.
How do you know?
Maybe it was.
I know. I'm just saying. Like I
hear he spends a lot of time.
I would not recognize Warren Buffett on sight. Is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, he's a famous guy. I've seen pictures. I've seen.
He's been to a lot of Cavs games.
Yeah. Let's anyway. This guy, you know, obviously very wealthy. This is like his third home, and he was getting his backyard redone. But the funny thing about it, his house is every room of the house was like the same room. They all had a kitchen, a bar, and a huge TV and a grill. So there was like one upstairs, there was one downstairs, and there's one on the
floor. So it was like a quadplex or whatever.
Yeah, I was like, this is kind of redundant, you know? Like, how many of these do you need? But anyway, he's a nice guy. Everyone was really nice, you know, and it was interesting conversation. I was there when the Syrian Assad, like, gassed his own people.
So it was like last week.
It was like late 2013, and they were real fired up about that. So after having a bunch of drinks, they started giving me kind of their takes on, you know, all the geopolitical situations. And it was interesting, to say the least, to be sober and to be like kind of listening to all these conversations. But anyway, I did finally get to walk on the beach at the end, but I had to spend the night there, and I didn't know we were spending the night, so I didn't bring any clothes at all. So you had to use
the jumpsuit.
No, and we were all sitting together, like on a couch, like a big family.
Use the jumpsuit.
And we were watching Liar Liar.
In English?
It was in English. And I had to go to sleep in what seemed like a little girl's room. It was almost like a dollhouse room. The bed was really small, and it had, you know, really...
Did these people have children?
Oh, no, they didn't. They didn't. So I don't know what their room was about.
It's so weird.
It was so weird, man. It was so weird. But yeah, so that was my experience.
And then you were back on base the next day and none the worse for wear?
No.
Wait, when did you watch the... Did I miss it? When did you watch the... I got lost in the weird...
Top Gun?
Yeah. Was it before Liar Liar or after?
They were flipping...
In the morning.
Yeah, it was in the morning.
It was a different time. It was in the morning.
Oh, okay.
With a white Russian in his hand instead of NFL games.
Oh, okay, okay.
After I had gotten a hernia from doing this weird workout. Jacks. Yeah.
Wow. Man, that is like you were like the dude. Like that was
a very Californian story.
It is. I've been to San Diego. Uh-oh. That doesn't look good. At the wall. Rajay Davis makes the catch. Wow. That was a deep ball. But, yeah, I mean, and so I just feel like everyone in California has got to be a little bit crazy. And people like you, EG, you just must, like, roll with it or something.
Well, I mean, I'm not from here, so it makes it a little easier. But I try to stay above the weirdness wherever possible. But, yeah, it definitely gets weird in places out here, for sure.
Yeah, that's an odd story. That's an awesome story. But yeah, I've definitely never heard that. So that was definitely a podcast first. I think that's right up there with the Gutterbot. So
yeah,
that I don't know. That might beat the Gutterbot, man.
I need to go rewatch Top Gun in Spanish so that I can quote the movie.
I love watching movies in Spanish.
I'll just have. I found the trailer for it in Spanish. So
the other day, I wandered across Basketball in Spanish. And if you think Basketball is a bad movie in English, it is even worse in Spanish. I can attest to that. That was
so. Last story. I told you about the British guy, right? That I promised myself I wouldn't ask him how to pronounce words, and I lasted like 3 days, and then I started asking him how to pronounce things. Well, anyway, we're buddies now. His name's John, and we talk all the time. And he thought it was so interesting that like my favorite show was Detectorists because he had never even heard of it. And then I told him about it, and so he got on it, and he and his wife like binge watched it one weekend. And he just thought that was so funny that like he was getting tips on good British TV to watch from me. So now every time I see him, he wants to prove that he can tell me good British TV to watch or good like English movies. So the other day he's telling me I need to watch this movie, and he's saying like you gotta watch like Poor, and I'm like, what? And he's like, you have to watch. It's called Poor, and I'm like, I have to watch Are you saying, I'm like, are you saying porn? And he's like, no, poor. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
You spell
like,
it?
Yeah, he's like, P-A-U-L. I'm like, Paul? He's like, yeah, poor.
I'm like, oh my lord.
Okay. So apparently there's some British movie, are you familiar with this, called Paul? It's like a comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's the guys, it's Edgar Wright, I think. And
they meet some, like, alien or something.
Yeah, it's he says Simon it's like Pegg and Nick Frost.
He says it's, like, the best movie, and I need to watch it.
I don't think that was Edgar Wright, actually. I think that was the one Edgar Wright.
Yeah. That's right.
It was, but it wasn't as good. Yeah. It wasn't bad, but, yeah.
Yeah, it was
I think
fine.
It might have been, was it directed by Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen was in it, but I don't think he directed
No, he played Paul, that's right.
Yeah.
I can't remember who directed it. We get
the name. Poor.
Oh my gosh. Poor. Yeah. Yeah.
Greg Mottola directed it.
I don't know who that is.
Greg Mottola, you would know from. Hang on. You would know Greg Mottola from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. No, it was Special Thanks. Never mind. He directed Adventureland. He directed Superbad. Superbad was his claim to fame.
Okay.
He most recently directed Keeping Up with the Joneses, which was not good.
I didn't think that was that bad. Yeah. It wasn't that good either. It was a waste of a really good cast, I will say that.
Yeah. So. I think that was probably the last movie that Galifianakis will do. He'll just stick to TV now.
Oh, he did that heist movie right after. It wasn't very good either.
No. It was back-to-back. Bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. The one movie I'm excited for next weekend that no one will see is Super Troopers 2.
I'm excited for that. There's so many movies coming out I want to watch. So I want to watch A Quiet Place. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, it's good.
Did you see it in a theater?
Yes.
Okay, so I've heard that expands on the experience.
Yes.
Like, do you know?
You want to see it with people in a theater.
Do you know the premise of this, Tom?
Nope.
So A Quiet Place is Jim from The Office. What's his real name?
Oh, yeah.
Krasinski.
John Krasinski. And his wife,
Emily Blunt.
His wife, Dick Scott. And and so the future, the planet's been invaded by aliens, and they tell where you are by noise. So the whole movie is, like, totally quiet, and there's no sound in the movie. But seeing it in the theater I guess it's a really cool experience.
That sounds tense, yeah.
Yeah, well, and then part of it is a lot of movies they're making now to try and get people to see them in the theater, kind of like Get Out and, you know, these other things.
Well,
they're
going to have a problem. I mean, I feel like a lot of pro sports have that issue right now. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's a better experience on your TV.
Yeah, like, I don't know why anyone would ever go to an NFL game, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're so
that's why, I mean, it's just back-to-back blockbusters starting, like, next week. I mean, Avengers, and then Deadpool, and then The Incredibles, and, I mean, just a whole,
I still haven't seen the only movie I've wanted to see for, like, the last 5 years, Dunkirk.
Man, Tom, I wish I could give you...
I know you didn't.
An hour and a half I spent before I walked out. You could have seen it.
I think I'll like it.
I think you'll like it too, but I think you'll also realize that it is flawed.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So anyway, so E.G., the movie you wanted to see was Super Troopers 2. I saw the previews. It looks good.
Yeah.
I love those.
I know all those guys really well. They're really funny guys in person. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed. Nobody watched it, but I enjoyoed the Slam and Salmon. So.
Yeah, no one watched that. And Beer Fest. And,
Are you kidding me?
Did you hit another one?
Oh, you... So, two errors in a row moved a guy to third.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sano hit another home run.
Well, it's still two outs, so we need to just get out of here.
I think it was two errors in a row. I got to see it again, but anyway. So, yeah.
Wild pitch in a throwing error or what?
Oh, pass ball and then a throwing error.
Yeah, I'm like a minute behind on this sling feed.
Yeah, that was a terrible sequence by the catcher. So,
who's catching, Gomes or Perez?
Gomes.
Yeah. So anyway, anything else you want to pitch, Tom? We are really long in the tooth here, but...
Oh, that was a terrible throw. So guess what I did yesterday?
I couldn't begin to imagine. You injected HGH and watched...
You watched Armageddon in French.
I did color commentary for a University of Dayton Flyers men's baseball game.
Nice.
TV. Yeah. Pretty random. Nice.
That is very
random. Are you the new Tom Hamilton or the new Herb Score?
No, I'm neither.
He's the new Dick Scott.
Yeah, the new Dick Scott. But the guy in the booth.
As long as you're not the new Chris Webber.
The play-by-play guy, his name was Tom, was like a professional. He was really good. So
that must
really
have been confusing, though, Tom and Tom.
We were good, but he carried he carried us. But it was interesting.
What do you think?
It is.
Well, Tom,
it is hard work, and I'm doing it again next Tuesday, assuming my wife doesn't give birth between now and then.
Is this a career change for you? Are you gonna start?
Oh no,
you're not having the baby.
No, I'm not. I am not. I am not.
Well, good. Yeah. I'm glad you're not.
No, not a career change. You know. Yeah.
Well, best of luck with that, Tom. And
yeah.
You
That's exciting.
No. Yeah.
I wish I could get, you know, Dayton Flyer baseball games on
You can stream it. I send you a link. It's there in the Atlantic 10 division. You can.
Oh, I would do that. I would stream it just to hear you call a game, Tom. No, I think that'd be impressive.
Yeah, it'll be 3:00, I think, next Tuesday. So
next Tuesday,
right. Yeah.
So what? 12 mid, like midday my time, noon.
Yeah, noon your time.
Yeah, and okay. I'm going to DC next week, chaperoning my daughter's 8th grade trip. So that's exciting.
Oh, hope you have good weather.
That's
for that.
Cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Although
I'm taking my daughter for her temporaries next Thursday.
Dun dun dun.
Yep.
No, well, man, they're growing up, aren't they, EG?
Dude, I'm like 3 years from being an empty nester.
Is your son in college?
He's going to Washington State in the fall.
Okay, so he's gonna start. Okay.
Yeah.
On to inning 16.
Ugh. Well, I guess that's better than the alternative, but still.
I don't know. It comes to a certain point, you'd almost rather just be over.
I was at a 17-inning game the Indians won way back in, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah.
With my dad. It was quite a game.
They played a 16-inning game against the Angels a couple of years ago out here at one of the games I went to.
I feel like this is a 17-inning podcast.
Yeah, feels like it.
Okay.
This did get long.
It did.
We had a lot to talk about.
It was worth it. So, EG, anything else you want to pitch besides Super Troopers?
Nah, I don't think so.
I'm pitching Isle of Dogs. Saw it, really enjoyed it. The stop motion animation is awesome, but not for everybody, but
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Not for me.
But I enjoyed it. So.
Thanks for sending me that Wally the Wally tweet. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I still hate Wally because it beat out Fantastic Mr. Fox for an Emmy.
I still hate Fantastic Mr. Fox because I had to actually work on it for about 5 minutes.
And I hate Wally because it's the preachiest can of schlock ever.
Come
you're
on.
You're talking about the movie with the robots?
Yeah, I hate that movie. Oh. It's so preachy.
Well,
I just didn't like the fact that there were real people and cartoon people in the movie, and that made no sense to me.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either. So, anyway.
Right?
Go Cavs. We'll see. We'll see how
far they work out. I want to talk more about Wally.
No. Another podcast.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Tom, come on. Go Tribe.
Go Tribe.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.